chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Congressman Jimmy Patronis. Got a little taste of Bob Johnson's music there for a second, but that is perfectly okay. I know John was thinking ahead. Welcome back, Jimmy. Good to have you, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So you had a town hall with our Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, where I think you were talking a lot about AI and minors and maybe some of the FSU stuff and your Section 230 bill.
Yeah, I tell you, we had a great turnout. I think at one point we had about as many as 6,000 people on the line. The questions were great. We appreciate all the engagement from those that that participated. And I just ask folks, you know, look, my DMs are open on Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to reach me directly on my phone. If there's other folks you would like me to reach out to participate in future town halls, just let me know. I've just literally never thought about doing special guests. Until this past one, and I'd reached out to our attorney general.
So that's good. Any takeaways? Any big results? Anything you want to announce? I didn't listen, which is my fault.
It was probably more of awareness. Okay. The attorney general got to speak directly to what he is doing regarding the prosecution and what is taking place regarding where ChatGPT and these other AI guided, you know, software applications are just kind of doing the whole replacement of parenting, of friends, of mentoring, of emotional help. It was more also, I just like listening, you know,
yeah.
The questions that we get from the folks that call in are more important than anything else. So we just were prepared with our content and to answer the questions that folks got in.
Absolutely. We've been talking all day today, and I don't want to forget to give you a chance to talk about this. At our Escambia County Commission meeting, there was a news story about data centers coming here. It was never true. It's not happening, especially not the hyperscale ones. But we got a lot of folks very worked up. They showed up at the county commission meeting. They basically had a mob rally. I'm kind of neutral on the subject. I'm open to, you know, the concerns, and I'm certainly open to the possibility that they're valuable for us. The state has done a lot to actually regulate and restrict and make sure that they, you know, don't destroy the water system, that they bring their own power and a bunch of other things. At the federal, I'm sure, you know, I know the president's been talking about this as well. Do you have thoughts about the value of data centers, hyperscale data centers?
Yeah, look, the federal government, the president spoke about this in his State of the Union, and I think his specific was the same way I feel. Look, what gets me more concerned about data centers is I don't want anybody's personal utility rates to go up because some investor group comes in, decides they want to make a massive investment, good for them, you know, but then they go and they flip it and they leave and they're no longer part of the community. And then everybody's stuck with a higher bill to pay because the thing is gobbling up so much electricity. I used to regulate utilities. Okay. So this is something I did for 3 years of my life. Our region already has basically like a capacity of what, you know, the Chris plant can do in Pensacola. That thing literally supplies everything in Northwest Florida up until you get to Lansing Smith over in Panama City. So, you know, it's got its capabilities. We are, you know, embracing efficiencies with like LED light bulbs and all these different things that help drive the ability of that plant's capacity to last longer. But with growth of people, you put more stress on the system. At some point, you know, FPNL is going to say, well, we might need another power generation. You know, they may add another combined cycle generator there. I just want to make sure that need is only because the people need it, not because some activist investors that are coming in and flying out, and then we're stuck because they created a massive new expense for us to have to absorb.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. If we wind up paying the burden, that's one thing. On the other hand, in some scenarios, I can see us getting a benefit. And if that's the case, well, you know, it's the details that are going to matter. And if this is the future, and it sure does seem to be, then, you know, maybe we don't want to say that Florida is closed to the future, but we want to make sure we do it wisely, right? We want to make sure we do it in a way that's prudent.
That's right. And look, FPNL is not out there recruiting these things either. Okay, I mean, they're an electricity provider. If somebody comes into the market, what will happen is eventually FPL will have to do what's called a rate hearing, and that's where they go in front of the Public Service Commission, and they will argue to the state of Florida, this is how much electricity I need based on these needs. And then the state of Florida fights against them and says, well, these are the things that we have concerns about that should not be in your rate. Well, we don't think you should get as much. I mean, this becomes like a court case. These data centers will be a massive factor in the next rate hearing for all our utilities in the state. And this is why, you know, I think FPL is like, in most of these, you know, IOUs, they're concerned about moving forward because they don't want to wake up one morning and have millions of angry Floridians at them. They don't want to get in that space.
Jimmy, the Iran deal, we've actually seen it now. I've read a lot of it. I'm not convinced that we are a lot better off. I'm not convinced that it's a total failure. I think a lot of it's going to be in the next 60 days and kind of what gets negotiated out at this point. But what's your take?
Look, I think you've got Iran is a very fractured country right now. I think it's taken some time to figure out who in the heck can actually rationally negotiate on their behalf. This is where we've had some, but you know, the same thing as they have had irrational conversations between these factions over there, same people, you know, it's irrational who's getting to pull triggers. So I think as you've got those over there that are really hesitant to escalate the situation. We went in there and Israel went in there and took out a lot of decision makers. So this is, I'm sorry, it's going to be hard to bring in a good resolution that's concrete and airtight when so many of the decision makers are dead, at least the first several layers of them. Yeah. And now you're expecting this country, hey, let's move on. Let's stop fighting. And you got those that want payback, and you got those that don't want the wrath of the United States. And you got those that want to keep their bridges and, you know, power in place. And you got those over there that want to, you know, extract revenge. So, it is what it is. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to, it's going to be bumpy.
And it's, you know, look, there's a history, right? Before in January, they killed 30,000 of their own dissidents. If the hardliners in any sense are allowed to remain in power, you know, you got to feel that the moderates or any reformers would be afraid of that same second purge coming thereafter if they get safety in it. So, you know, I wonder sometimes if maybe the thought here wasn't, hey, let's take out their missile and drone capability. Let's set back the nuclear program as far as we can. Let's get some kind of negotiated if we can get anything with the terrorist proxies. And maybe, fingers crossed, we can destabilize the government enough that the right people take over. Well, that hasn't happened. And, you know, we got some of what we wanted and maybe not all of what we wanted. I think a lot of the detail is going to depend.
Here's some 47 years you basically had the same leadership and the same regime, the same mind thing running that country. In the United States, we have term limits, and President Trump is the most out-of-the-box, unorthodox president we've had in the last 50 years. So, I mean, here they have been, and then here you got this guy that comes out of nowhere and just punches them right in the face.
Yeah.
You know, so now, I mean, you know, how do you react when somebody punches you in the face? I mean, I think they're still trying to deal with the shock of what just happened to them. So, you know, I applaud President Trump for, you know, getting rid of this threat in the Middle East. But unfortunately now that threat's trying to still figure out, do we push back or do we, you know, comply? And it's not going to go smooth. Unfortunately, I would much rather be the United States than Iran. So these guys, that to me, it's only a matter of time before they come to their senses. Unfortunately, the president wants to move on, and I want to move on, too. We got bigger fish to fry. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we have frequent elections. They go 47 years. We go 2 years. You know, so, and there's a cost to having to do things that way. And I'm with you. I think the arrogance or the complacency that they had was after so many years, surely the U.S. isn't going to actually do, oh, crap, those are bombs. You know, like, I think that's kind of how they reacted to it. Hey, on the guns topic, partially because you talked with A.G. Uthmeyer, but also just because this stuff's been happening, we have the state has declined. It's basically allowed or claimed that the three-day waiting period is unconstitutional. That's in the NRA lawsuit. I think that might have these backwards. Anyway, the 18 to 20-year-olds is now law because we're not defending that they can conceal carry. They still cannot purchase. That's a federal law. And then we got the ruling from the Supreme Court about, you know, even marijuana users, you can't necessarily presume that they're dangerous. Therefore, a law prohibiting their use federally or their, you know, their possession federally is not lawful. What do you think about some of these developments in Florida or across the country?
Look, I've always had the attitude that the Second Amendment doesn't have asterisks to it and caveats. It's the right to bear arms. So I'm a purist when it comes to that. I feel like anything that's an impediment to being have your right to bear arms to be able to use your own constitutionally given rights, those are null and void. I feel like if any of them are challenged in court, they should get thrown out. You've got the federal laws of the books, which we are working on. There's a number of them in play, but that's no different than my Firearms Freedom Act. You know, I'm not pro machine gun, I'm not anti machine gun. I'm pro Second Amendment. I just want to have access and make sure there's no impediments to getting your right to bear arms.
Because of the war in Iran, we have used up a lot of our, you know, arsenal stockpile of weapons. In some ways, it can be useful for turnover of inventory, I know, but we have, you know, the claim is that we have low inventory and we need to get back to production. The administration has been talking about using the Defense Production Act, which I think was in the NDAA. I might be wrong about that. You correct me if I'm wrong. But part of turning some of these companies into arms producers is that we would then own, I think, a share of those companies. Can you maybe explain why that's the case? Because I think I see why, but can you maybe walk us through that a little bit?
So I think there's a number of arguments why that should be the case. Again, I'm not an expert on it. But you think about it, if I'm going to go to General Motors and say, hey, I want you to change your assembly lines so now we can build Sherman tanks on it. Well, now General Motors is pivoting from what they know how to do and what their consumer, you know, buys 300,000 of every year, these Silverado pickup trucks, and do it. So obviously you need to show that, hey, I am going to buy some. I do have skin in the game. We're going to partner up till we make this transition, and then that'll be part of whatever cash out or termination or whatever the agreement is to make sure General Motors gets back to doing business as normal. So, I mean, this is where we're leaning on those that know how to build to provide the supplies that we need. And then as we are transitioning back to a point of strength, then, hey, go back and build your pickup trucks. I mean, that's as simple as a way as I can put it.
And the last thing I have for you, Jim, we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, is have you been watching the soccer? Have you been watching the World Cup? My prediction is that you're such a football guy, the regular American football, that you're not so invested in the World Cup. But people surprise me, so I'm curious.
I it's kind of one of those things. There's nothing else on sometimes, and I love sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's no NBA to watch. I mean, there's so many sports that aren't watched. It's on there. I think it's convenient that they plan this and they're using all of our football stadiums all over the nation that now are being unutilized. So, you know, I've seen some unbelievable shots. But I think also it's easy to feed off of the excitement of the crowds and the fans and the and those players out there. You know, there's some incredible talent out there. And again, it kind of comes back to the national respect that they have from the countries of origin they came from. I mean, hell, Mbappe comes from an island in the middle of the Atlantic. You know, I mean, how did a guy like this, you know, become as strong as he is now playing for France, you know, coming from Madeira, crazy stuff.
So what's the longest amount of time you have continuously sat and watched an in real time soccer match during the World Cup?
Oh, about 6 minutes. Come on. Too much stuff going on.
That's the real answer.
I love it. I got a life, man. Come on. That works.
Jimmy Patronis is our.
You don't know how many emails and texts and phone calls I return every day. So, I mean, I like being accessible, but that also means, you know, the interest of, you know, international sports goes on the back burner.
I've got 1/15th of a game in me to give you. I love it. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, just make sure mom and dad, when you go to see Toy Story 5 with your kids, go with them to it. Do not just drop them off at the theater.
Because the issues, you're going to want to talk about them.
Because the issues that you're going to learn about in the new Toy Story movie, you'll appreciate, especially if you've got kids from about 8 to 13. It's a perfect sweet spot.
Oh, it's a great, that's a great promo, too. It's a good note, absolutely good note, given the subject matter of the movie. All right, Jimmy, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.